I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Bogeyer Better podcast. I'm Cameron, and normally we're joined by Dylan, but actually it's just going to be me today, be running solo. We had solo time with Uncle Dylan. Now it'll be solo time with Uncle Cam today. We just, at the time of recording, just wrapped up the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It was actually really a great tournament. A ton of up-and-down movement. I think the biggest headline, obviously, is Daniel Berger coming out with the win, ending on that just ridiculous 18th hole eagle to just run away with it. And Daniel Berger, if you didn't know much about him, it's probably because he wasn't really all that great before kind of quarantine hit. Once COVID hit and golf stopped and everything stopped, he must have put in some major work, because this is his second win since the return of golf. Won last season. He won, I believe, the first tournament coming back, and won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So that's two. And Dylan and I were talking earlier, thinking he was a tailor-made athlete, but he's not. He is a free agent, similar to Brooks Koepka. Has no brand sponsorship when it comes to the clubs that he uses. Now, he may be a sponsorship. He wears a lot of Adidas, so he may be a clothing sponsor with Adidas, but he can pick whatever clubs he wants. See him using the Spider. I wasn't able to catch his irons. But it looks like he was using TaylorMade irons as well. So TaylorMade must be foaming at the mouth to try and sign this guy. Because with the second win now, he's 27. And he's putting together some good golf. Now, if any of you have seen his swing, I find it so interesting. It almost reminds me of sort of John Rahm. How flat it gets at the top. You know, John Rahm's swing is so short and quick. But if you watch Daniel Berger swing, it's so interesting. The way it goes back, his right hand is so flexed down. But he makes great contact, and he has a very unique pre-putt routine. If anyone's noticed it, he'll get up to the ball. Like, he'll place his marker, pick the ball up, walk around, do the normal stuff. But then if you watch him, he'll set the ball down, aim it, and before he picks the ball marker up, he'll actually put the putter down behind it. It looks like he's about to hit. And then he gets all set up, so if he needs to make any little adjustment, he still can because his ball marker's in place. And I've not really seen many other golfers do that, so I think that's a very specific to him. And maybe we'll start to see that more on the tour. I did notice a lot in this round, too. A lot of left-hand down putters lately. People, you know, your normal grip that you see, you know, right hand low. A lot of times when you have putting struggles, usually the answer is to change your grip. You know, usually you get the claw. That's a big one. Pencil grip sometimes. But a lot of left-hand lows. And yeah, I've tried it a couple times. It's fine. It's a little difficult. It feels backwards. It'd be, you know, if you were trying to use a left-handed putter, that's how the grip would be. So it works really well for keeping the left wrist from collapsing. But you can still do that same thing using a normal putter grip. But even Jordan Spieth, you know, he switched his putter grip up, and he was a fantastic short game and putter. But just nothing was working. But, man, Jordan Spieth, I feel bad for him. He didn't really he didn't really do anything necessarily wrong. Just wasn't his day. What they were talking about on the broadcast, you know, his last win was 2017, 4 years ago. So that's quite a while for somebody like him who kind of just took the golf world by storm. But his last back-to-back top five finish was in 2018. So the fact that, I don't know if at the time of this recording, if he's actually finished. I think he's tied for fourth is what it looks like. So that would be another top five finish for him back to back. So that hasn't happened in 3 years. So even though he hasn't won, he's putting together some great golf. His putting's working. He's struggling off the tee, but his short game has been great. I think this year we're gonna see some good things out of Jordan Spieth. He's done well in the Masters before. It's not far off from now. Could see something great from him. But I want to talk something about Ricky Fowler. Now, he looked great, but he is having some issues with just his golf game, not being able to put stuff together. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing wrong. I can't put a finger on it. He's not playing well. Watching Phil miss the cut, that was unfortunate, but he tends to do that. He has a great round. He kind of lives and dies by the driver. So it's not super shocking for Phil to miss the cut. But when you've got somebody like Ricky Fowler missing the cut, it's just tough for him. You know, that's the second consecutive event that he missed the cut because he missed the waste management as well. He's now 63, or he's in the 63rd place on the world golf ranking. He, right as of now, does not qualify for the Masters, which shows, Ricky was a wonder boy coming into golf. I mean, his talent level was crazy. I mean, similar to Jordan Spieth, Roy McIlroy, Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy a little bit more accomplished out of that little group. But Ricky Fowler has just not been able to put together wins. And it's going to be weird if he doesn't qualify for the Masters tournament. You know, it's not like he's done anything major, but he's not playing the quality of golf that you would need to play in that tournament, which seems weird. But I feel like if Dustin Johnson would have played this week, he probably would have won with how well he does at Pebble Beach. But you could probably say that about any tournament. You know, since our last recording, I don't remember if we got to mention his win over in, was it Dubai? Wow, the same week that Brooks Koepka wins the waste management. We've got a good year coming up. Okay, you know, all the majors, the players, the Ryder Cup. There's just going to be some really strong golf. A lot of guys took the time off from the beginnings of the pandemic and really worked on their game. And some guys didn't. Some guys just took some time off. And that's just kind of how it's going. So maybe Ricky was one of those people and is just having trouble putting together some wins. Speaking of Ricky, have y'all seen his proto irons from Cobra? They are gorgeous. They've got this like copper gold, you know, like almost not a rose gold. They call it a rich copper finish on the iron. So it looks great. It's got this really nice, almost like milled look through the entire iron. So look-wise, it's beautiful. They're selling right now for about $2,500, which is outrageous. They look so small and so not fun to hit. But they are nice. A lot of people have been asking about them, you know, wanting to try them. I don't even feel the desire to necessarily try them because it would just make me feel bad. But, you know, their lofts are, they are high lofted too compared to, you know, we call game improvement irons. Irons that kind of help with distance and things like that. His irons are high lofted though. Because let's look, his 7-iron, that proto iron is loft at 34 degrees, 7-iron. And if you go over to, you know, Adam got his irons in today. He got his STI irons from Golf Works. They looked so nice too. But once he gets to play with them, we'll have him on and he can review those. Because those are really nice. You know, not in a bad way, but, you know, they're a high game improvement iron, but they look great. Those actually are at a 32 degree loft, so it really isn't maybe as much difference as I thought going in. But you know, the new PXGs, those are about 28 degrees for a 7-iron. So you're talking about 6-degree difference, like a club and a half. So I was reading a lot about how almost some people are getting upset or over the numbering system. They would rather have the loft degree instead of it saying 7-iron, have it say 30. Because a 7-iron from one golf manufacturer could be different from another. Which is true. It varies completely, you know, and there's within tolerance. The only thing I don't like, I get having, if you put the loft that you would build them at on the club, like instead of a 7 on it, it says, you know, 30 degrees, 32 degrees, whatever. The only problem with that is if you were to get a loft adjustment after the fact, that kind of messes with your head there. You know, you think, I need a 7-iron, right? That's my 30. But, like, it's actually a 32 degrees because I weakened it, too, or I strengthened it, too. You know, so I'm not a huge fan of the idea. You know, your wedges have degrees on them, but you don't normally bend your wedges. If you want a wedge 1 or 2 degrees more, you get a different wedge. Like, they make those. If you don't like your 54, you get a 56. You know, so it's not like, I just rather keep the regular irons with the numbering system. It makes it much easier. Just be aware when you buy or you're looking for irons, be aware of what the actual lofts are comparatively to what you're used to playing. I'm thinking with when I go to my PXG fitting in a couple weeks, and those are strong lofted compared to some other irons. And, you know, that'll help with distance a lot. But when you get up to like 5-iron, it's almost the same degree as a 4-hybrid. So like if I were wanting to jump up, you know, the PXG 4-hybrid and the 5-iron is like half a degree difference. So I'm probably going to have to weaken the lofts because I'm not a big fan of it being super strong lofted. I already don't enjoy hitting my long irons. But that's why having a nice either club build or website that you like is very important. Because not always getting them from, let's say, getting them from TaylorMade. You know, if you have a company that you really like, you know, Golf Works, where we've been talking about them all the time, you can always make those adjustments. But if you go, you know, you want to buy from, let's say, like Global Golf or just a Maple Hill Golf or some of these other golf websites where you're just buying the base clubs, like they can't customize it at all, you better know or you better be okay with the specific types of lofts and lie adjustments that you're going to be getting or that you won't be getting because there's no changing it. Yeah, you'd rather go to go through a company that will customize them if you want to. And most of the time, those little adjustments don't cost you anything. So, I mean, just take a look, you know. I mean, most of your regular manufacturers will do customized, but if you want to, you know, go to a website and try and get them a little cheaper, someone's got them like $10 cheaper somewhere else or something, it probably is because they're just stock clubs that they're allowed to sell cheaper because they don't have the ability to make any type of customization on them. So keep that in mind too. So what do we finished up with Pebble. It's a great tournament. It was great to have consistent golf on, you know, with Super Bowl last week and just finally having golf be like the high ranking sport. You know, basketball's being played, but it's not the playoffs yet. Just having golf Thursday through Sunday has been awesome. Side note, the fan controlled football league was out. I had heard about that. Just saw it like on Instagram. Johnny Manziel back out there. I'm like, me and Dylan need to get on that and either join the same team or join separate teams and, you know, try and take our teams to the, I don't even know, whatever championship they do. But imagine if they had that for golf. How many people would do that? Like Jordan Spieth, you know, 150 yards in, and it's up to, you know, a pool of people like us sitting on our couch to decide what type of shot to hit and what club to hit it with. I feel like that'd be cool. Like it takes like real life PGA 2K21 or real life Madden, where, you know, they're sitting there waiting for you to be like, all right, I think you should hit a 9-iron, a high draw, and then he goes out there and does it. I think that'd be pretty cool. Let's talk about, let me pull up his name so I say it right. I always say it, watching him on the leaderboard, I always call him Nick Lachey, because that just for some reason, that's why, when I see his name, that's immediately what I think. He was at the top, but now I gotta go all the way down. It is Nate Lashley. Nate L. Ashley, however it's pronounced. Poor guy. His last 18, his Sunday round was so pretty and so nice. And he just had a blow-up hole beyond, like, the pinnacle of blow-up holes on, let's see, what hole was it? 16? And puts himself in a position where he's got to make a putt for bogey. Probably 4 feet. But it's a, you know, it's a left to right putt. Those 4 feet, you know, with a lot of break to them can be difficult because a little change in speed or a little off, you know, if you're aiming high, you can't hit it hard because it's just going to throw that golf ball. And he aimed high and just gave it too much pace, missed it. So now he's putting for double bogey and missed it again and makes his putt for triple bogey. Now, you know, he was competing for, I mean, he was competing for the win at that point. And that triple bogey knocked him down to tied for sixth. He ended at 13 under. Yeah, you know, if he had maybe holed that bogey, he would have been 15. So he would have tied for third. The way Daniel Berger finished with that eagle, it really didn't matter what happened with Nate. Keep wanting to say Nick. It didn't really matter what happened with Nate because Daniel Berger just crushed everybody's dreams. And poor Maverick McNealy. What a name. Maverick McNealy. He, 25-year-old, I mean, basically kid. Looks like a kid out there. Sitting at, he eagles and is sitting watching Daniel Berger, just hoping that he pars that par five and watches Daniel Berger stick it on the green. And basically, Daniel Berger has two putts to win. And then, just in pure, just Michael Jordan form, I guess we can say Tom Brady form now, just at the last second, just drains it at the last second. It was super cool. And I think these are the moments where you really miss fans on those type of putts, because, you know, the way Jordan was set up, the way Patrick Cantlay was set up, if Daniel sunk that putt, he won. You know, I mean, there was people playing behind Daniel Berger, and CBS was calling, you know, they had the graphic up, everything. And, you know, he did a little half fist pump. It looked great, but there was, like, no roar. No, you know, that was for the win. And that wasn't a tap-in birdie. That was a long putt. And there was just nothing. You know, there were some people there, but 18th at Pebble Beach, you really want something more. And it stinks that Daniel Berger's been getting a lot better, and, you know, with his second win, he's top 10 finishes. Like, he's up there a lot, and he's doing this without any of the fan interaction. You know, I think they miss it a lot more than maybe they let off. But, you know, they're continuing to add fans. So, you know, with the Masters, there'll be limited fans. I'm waiting to hear about the PGA Championship down in Kiawah Island on the Ocean Course. You know, I've got tickets to that. So does Dylan. And, you know, we haven't heard what the decision is. I'm assuming, being that it's, South Carolina, that they will allow some fans, but I don't know to what extent it'll be. You know, I mean, it's in May, so a month after the Masters. So we'll see. You probably have a little more people than you would at the Masters. We'll see what happens. I really hope we get to go. And it's a Sunday round, so, you know, I'll probably meet up with Dylan, and nothing would be better than catching up with some content over there with a Rory and Tiger final grouping. That would be pretty cool. I've never been to a golf tournament before. You know, Dylan's been to a couple practice rounds, but he's never been to a, you know, an official round, but he's been, I've never have. So this will be the first time going, and it's going to be a Sunday at a major championship. It's going to be crazy if we get to go. We'll see what happens. And, you know, with the addition of fans, that kind of makes me intrigued on how they're going to do the Ryder Cup. Because, you know, that's a large event. But it's at Whistling Straits, pretty open. I can see them, spacing it out. But, you know what's interesting is Maverick McNealy is playing Nike irons. I didn't even know that people still played those. They're playing the Nike VR Pros. He's got Callaway everything else, at least from what the What's in the Bag made clear. So, is he just not signed by anybody? Like, why are you using Nike irons? I just don't get it. I get the appeal for, like, amateurs and people that just like to have it just because, like, oh, they're Nike and they don't make them anymore. But it's almost like, I feel like it's almost handicapping you using clubs like those that are not only older, but you know, they were at the end of making those clubs. They weren't necessarily trying to make big advancements because Nike was planning to phase out. So I don't know. If you really want to use Nike, I mean, I guess you could just use Ping. Ping bought out all of Nike's patents. So there's going to be a lot of maybe old Nike philosophy, Nike technology, that those patents that they used that will be put into Ping's. But yeah, I was like, why still use those? Especially at his level. Like, I get, you know, if you only have clubs for every 10 years, you know, I mean, my irons are 10 years old. So, but I'm not on tour. I don't have access to, you know, whatever irons that I want. I'm like, why is he playing irons like that? I mean, they're 11 years old. I mean, they're just blades. If you look at, if you search up the Nike VR Pros right now, they don't look that much different than, like, the P7 MCs, the TaylorMade, like, what they call them, muscle back blades, basically. So it must just be a confidence thing, because you're going to get better performance out of an iron that's 10 years newer, in theory. I guess you could ask Daniel Berger. He probably agrees. Daniel Berger out here using old TaylorMade irons, too. Are we going to start to see that become a trend? Yeah, when he won last year, he came out, he was using 9-year-old TaylorMade MC irons. So he went from using Callaway irons to those. I just find that very interesting. Like, if these professionals that are swinging clubs on a daily basis and have access to whatever club they want to go back to what they were swinging in high school, did golf reach like a peak at those times? I don't know. It's interesting. Let's take a look. Yeah, he's still rocking. They just posted his What's in the Bag. He has actually 3 Callaway Apex irons. Or he's got a Callaway Apex 3 iron. 2016. So still not really going for anything new. Rocking a TaylorMade Sim. Not Sim 2. Regular Sim. And his fairway wood is a TaylorMade M6. Callaway Apex 3 iron. The TaylorMade Tour Preferred MC's 2011. 10-year-old forward pitching wedge. Mac Daddy wedges. And, of course, the TaylorMade Spider X putter. With the Titleist Pro V1 golf ball. I feel like, when it comes to putters and the amount of winners on tour recently, has there been that much of a gap between this TaylorMade Spider and everything else? I mean, when you get to the tour level, there's just, you know, people use blades, people use mallets, it's just kind of everything. But TaylorMade makes other putters. But if you're using a TaylorMade putter, 99 times out of 100, it's that they're using that Spider X. Must be something about it. I mean, it's basically a rocket ship. They released some. They're gonna have a new version of the Spider X coming out this year. Probably, I think it's early spring, is when those are released. Scotty Cameron also came out with an updated 2021 Phantom lineup, which was odd. Scotty Cameron usually goes from their normal, like, their selects. And then the next year, they'll do, like, their high-tech mallets. And then they go back and forth. So maybe they'll release something later, because it was looking like we'll get an update on, you know, on all the Phantoms or all the specials, like all your regular Scotty Camerons, your new porch, your square backs, fast backs. We'll see what happens. There's so many putters out there too now. See all these like center shafted, then you've got guys using a lot of arm lock. Most people using left hand low grips. There's just all kinds of stuff. It shows that golf is evolving. It's not becoming always do what they used to do. If you can change it up. If you can do something that works for you, do something that works for you. When it comes to swing, I think Matthew Wolf is the prime example. Another one is, John Rahm, Tony Finau. Some of the longer players in the game that take their club back like 50% of their swing. And you got Dustin Johnson who like overextends. You know, his hands are so high. Hand is so far bowed. And his shoulders almost go past the ball, like on his right side. Like he swings so far over. It's just interesting. It's not what it used to be where everybody was molded into the same type of golfer. There's so much different with your golf clubs, golf technology now, where it fits. You know, it can fit however you want to hit it. So, keep playing. Everybody keep just playing their game. You know, there's guys that, you know, look, for example, Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson has a huge slice, but he's on tour and plays it. Hit a driver on a par 3 at the Waste Management. Played like it, nice high slice. And you watch him set up. Imagine if he tried to hit draws. Why mess himself up if he can do that same thing every time? That's what I've been learning. Especially going through this process of trying to get new clubs. And I keep researching because I want these clubs to last. I want them to be specific to me. I don't want to have to do this again for a long time. And so I spend all these time researching clubs, looking at clubs. Is this better than this one? This one better than this one? They all hit the ball. And if Daniel Berger can win multiple times with 10-year-old irons, you know, upgrading makes things maybe a little easier for you. But that's not the answer to everything. Get to the range. Play your swing. Swing your swing. You know, if you wanna work on face angle, work on keeping your face controlled, work on using your body to swing. But you don't have to fit into that cookie cutter mold. Golf is changing. Do whatever. If you have a swing that feels natural, that's the way that you want to swing, then swing it. You know, Adam, I know he's going to be listening. When we played Golden Hills, he was trying to do things that aren't natural. It doesn't work out. So I told him, I want you to aim at that tree line on the left and swing the way you swing. And he hit fairway after fairway after fairway. Now, was it a slice? Sure. But was it in the fairway? Yeah. Did, you know, we're playing golf where the idea is to shoot the lowest score. It's not to how many times can I hit a perfect draw. So from that tee box, guys, hit the fairway, hit the green, make the putt. However you choose to do that, you know, all that matters at the end is how that score is. So we're gonna end it today on that. I like that. Hit the fairway, hit the green, hit the putt. We're gonna have Adam on soon to talk about his new irons. A cavity back design with a silica gel, like cube insert, really unique. They're new from Maltby this year. Take him out, see how those hit. I'll hit them too, and we'll have him on. And Dylan will be back too. Maybe in a couple weeks, Adam will come on. But we look forward to seeing you guys soon. We got the players coming up soon in a couple weeks. And I know weather's been bad. It's getting some what seems like cold snaps here and there, but that just means a nice pretty spring. So if it means practicing at home, practice at home. Get ready, because the upcoming spring and summer are going to be some really good golf, everybody. So have a great week. Look forward to talking to you next week. See ya.